All right, we've been in a series called How to Turn Your Faith Loose, and talking about confession, what we say, and we talked about a few different kinds of confession that the Bible covers, and you can go listen to the earlier messages, but the one primarily that we're talking about is our confession of the Word, of what we believe, and we said this last time. Confession has a bad connotation a lot of times in church circles. People talk about, you know, you got to go to confession, or you know, you confess that you did something wrong. And we covered those areas. I mean, there is confession of sin, and we covered that. But the Bible has more to say about the positive side of confession than the negative. And if we're always talking about that negative side, then it builds just sin consciousness into us. Failure, but we're focusing on confessing the Word of God and saying what we believe. So confession, we said this last time, is stating something that we believe, confessing a truth. It is declaring something we know to be true. It's proclaiming a truth that we have accepted wholeheartedly. So it's stating something that we believe, declaring something we know to be true, proclaiming a truth that we've accepted wholeheartedly. Our confessions should center around just several areas, several basic scriptural truths. And we said these last time. But number one, what God has done for us through Christ in His plan of salvation. So these are the things that we should be focusing our confession. What we say, what we're saying, what we're letting come out of our mouth is what we're talking about. What God, number one, what God has done for us through Christ in His plan of salvation. That's one thing we want to focus on. Number two, what God has done in us by the Word and in the Holy Spirit, in the new birth and in the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So number two, what God has done in us by the Word and the Holy Spirit in the new birth and in the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Number three, who we are to God the Father in Christ Jesus. Who we are to God the Father in Christ Jesus. Number four, what Jesus is presently doing for us at the right hand of the Father, where He lives ever lives to make intercession for us. Number four, what Jesus is presently doing for us at the right hand of the Father, where He ever lives to make intercession for us. And number five, what God can accomplish through us, or what His Word can accomplish through us as we proclaim it. And I'll say that last one again. What God can accomplish through us, or what His Word can accomplish through us as we proclaim it. So we're focusing on what we say. That's our confession. We're not talking about some religious thing. You're going into confession mode and now you're confessing, but then you're going into normal talking mode. What you say is your confession. What I say is my confession. It's what we're talking about. What is our talk? Not in a religion, not when you're in church, just when you're in church. It's what we're doing when we're going down the road. It's what we're doing when we're at work under our breath. It's what we're doing, you know, when we're at home. What are we saying? What are we saying about our circumstance? What are we saying about our family? What are we saying about ourselves? What are we saying about our health? What we're saying about our finances? What we're saying about our surroundings, our friends, our church, our pastor, our government? You know, what are we saying? Are we saying it in line with the Word, or are we saying what we feel? Because it's pretty easy to say what we feel, isn't it? Let's be honest. It's easy to let your feelings just come out your mouth and just, well, I don't care. I feel like this. We've all been guilty of that. We've all done it. But we don't have to. And we can monitor what's coming out, because what we say is going to go into our ears. It's going to affect us. We said last time that we can always tell. You can always tell what a person is believing by their confession. Same with us. You can check up on yourself and you can tell what we're actually believing by what we say. If our confession is wrong or what we say is wrong, then our believing is wrong. If a person's believing is wrong, then his thinking is wrong. And if his thinking is wrong, it's because his mind has not been renewed by the Word of God. We went over this a little bit last time. Because what we think is going to affect what we believe. Because what you meditate on is going to get into your heart, and it's with the heart that you believe. So if we're thinking on something all the time, whether it's in line with the Word of God, whether it's not in line with the Word of God, that's what we're going to believe. And what we believe is going to affect what we say, because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, a man speaks. So what we think is going to get down in our heart, and what gets down in our heart, what we believe, is what we're going to say. So what we say is going to be an indication of what we believe, regardless of what we try to talk around it. I mean, we try to say, well, I don't really believe that, but if we're saying it, we can check, we can tell, and especially when we get under pressure. When we get squeezed, we can tell by what we say what we believe. Now, this is not to heap condemnation on any of us. We're just checking up. We're just going by what the Word says so that we can look at it. And if we're not saying the right thing, if we're not believing the right thing, if we're not thinking the right thing, then we can change it and start going in the right direction. And all of us need mind renewal. All of us can come up. There isn't a single person here, single person on the face of the earth that can't come up and that we can walk higher. All of us have made mistakes. Maybe today. Maybe on the way to church. Well, thank God for Jesus. Thank God that we can just say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And the Bible said, we talked about that in an earlier message. About confessing sin. Well, that's not all negative. Thank God we have the opportunity to do it because of what Jesus did. It's not that we're happy that we missed it, but thank God we can come boldly before the throne of grace and say, Lord, I missed it. I'm sorry, that was stupid. I admit that. When you confess sin, you're acknowledging that was wrong. You know, when somebody confesses to a crime, they're saying, yeah, I did it. Guilty. That's all that is. It's not a religious term. It's saying, I missed it. You're acknowledging what you did was wrong, as opposed to saying, I didn't do anything. That's not wrong. What I did there? That's fine. Do that, and we start getting hardened. The Bible says that the sin has a hardening effect. So if we're going down, we do something, we know we did it, we know we shouldn't have said it to our spouse, we're like, that's not wrong. That's fine. Something happens. We start getting hardened. On the other hand, you can miss it. Do something wrong and say, Lord, I missed it. Sorry, please forgive me. And you know what the Bible said? It said, He will forgive us. He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That means you're not re-saved. We're saved, we're in the family, but guilt, that your conscience bother you is taken care of if we'll believe the Word. If we take God at His Word, then we're forgiven, we're cleansed, so we can move on. So we're not saying anything. We've all missed it, but you know what? We can say, you know what? That was stupid to say. I shouldn't have said that. If we've been saying the wrong thing, then we can say, you know what? I shouldn't have been. That's not lining up with the Word of God. I'm going to change. I'm going to start thinking in line with the Word of God. Maybe not going to happen all in one day, but if the Word of God says something, I'm gonna start programming my mind with the Word of God, and I'm going to meditate on that. I'm going to think on the Word. I'm going to think on what it says, not what my circumstances are telling me, not what my background, my upbringing has told me. If the Word of God says something, I'm going to focus on that, and I'm going to believe that. I'm going to start thinking on that, and as I start thinking on that, then I'm going to start believing that, and then I'm going to start saying that, and that's when things really start to change, because Romans 10:10, can you put up Romans 10:10 really quick? It says, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This is how you get born again. When you say confession is made unto salvation, well, it's also confession is made unto whatever you want to say, Whatever you're talking about, it's made, confession is made unto healing. Confession is made unto victory. We say what God says before we see it. This isn't magic. This works whether you believe in the negative, whether people don't even believe in God. If they're saying something, if they say they can't do something, then they limit themselves. This works regardless if you believe in God or not. But if you get God behind it, you believe in your heart, now you're talking about faith in God. And then He can do something with it. You're not just talking about human power. Now you're agreeing if He said something's true and we hook up with Him and say, yes, that's true. Now we give Him an avenue in our life to make it so. Yeah. And that's the difference. This is not, you know, mind over matter or some weirdness like that. This is a universal law. God set this into motion. The Bible said He spoke the universe into existence, regardless of what anybody said. It came into existence. The Bible said He spoke and said, let there be light, and there was light. That's how God operates. We're His children, so it should be no surprise that we should operate like Him. And what we say is going to come to pass in our lives. It's not hocus pocus. It's God has said something is true. Now we, in this realm, are agreeing with Him. Now His power, we give Him authority and access in our lives to come and make it so. But if we're, on the other hand, if we're constantly disagreeing with the Word of God and aligning against it, it says He loves us, it says we have victory, and we say, no, we don't. No, He doesn't love us. We are taking sides against the Almighty. He can't override that. So we don't want to do that. We don't want to take sides against the Word. Sometimes people unconsciously take sides against the Word. Don't maybe not realizing that they're ignorant of it. But if we're taking sides against the Word of God, we're not going to get God to work for us. Not because He doesn't love us, but because we're going in the opposite direction. He's saying, this is what I've decreed, this is what is yours, and we're saying, no, it's not for me. So we're going the opposite direction. You know, any of you parents know this. You can want your kids to do something, but if they won't listen to you and won't do it, even though you have good for them, that makes it difficult. You can't chase them around trying, you know, it's like you have something for them and I got something good. But if they're running away from you, that doesn't make it easy. Well, that's what a whole lot of people ignorantly or on purpose are doing with God. Is God is saying, I've in His Word, He's stated who He is and what He is and what He's done for us through Jesus. And if we go with the world system's pushing away from God, saying things about Him, not agreeing with Him, going away and speaking the opposite. Well, we have authority in our lives. All of us. What we say is going to go in our lives. Not what your neighbor said, not what the person at work that doesn't like you said. It doesn't matter unless we start agreeing with it. What we say is going to go. That's why it's so important what we say. The Word of God, I mean, we should reverence what God said. It's not reverencing this, you know, this paper and covering, you know, whether it's leather or some other type, maybe you have with your Bible. This book, we're not reverencing the pages per se, we're reverencing what it says, these words. Because these words, whether they're in English, Spanish, German, Russian, Italian, whatever language you want to say, got it in there. It doesn't matter the language, you know, God, His words are eternal. And that's what we're reverencing. If He's, you know, like with our Constitution as a country, it's not, I mean, you know, you have copies of that are historic and worth a lot of money, but you can have it printed on just you know, it can be on a computer screen, but the words, what it contains, is important. And people have died to support what it says and to protect this country. It's the power of the words. Well, God's word, what we see in these pages, it's the actual words that's important. It's not, you know, I've worn out several Bibles. At some point, you just got to retire them. You know, this is a fairly new one. And it's not that the Bibles are so important themselves, but the word is important. And we need to reverence that word and agree with what he said. Reverencing it means that we're gonna agree with it. And we're going to say, if he said it, then that's right. That's reverencing it. If he said it, then I don't care what I think. If I think something and it's against what he said, then I need to change my thinking. If I'm saying something against what he said, I need to change what I'm saying. That's reverencing. Reverence is so much different than a lot of people think. It's not religious. You know, people come in, they try to act religious in church. Try to act like they're being, you know, going to come in and doesn't matter what happened out there, but they're going to be holy in here and put on a different face and act like, you know, they think solemn. I'm not saying you guys, I'm saying in a church people do this. But we got to be careful. Because that doesn't mean we're necessarily, you can go through all the motions and not care a lick about God. The Bible says as much, right? People worship me, their lips, but their hearts, they're far from me. Notice that? Their lips are worshiping, but their hearts, it's not what you say, it's what's behind it. But what we say is important, and what you believe, it shows what you believe. But you can, people say all the time stuff, they're just saying it, but they don't believe it. Because you find out what people really believe when you get them on their own. Right? It's not what we do in here. It's not what we do around our friends when we're trying to put on a show. It's what's coming out when there is nobody to impress. We find out, do we reverence God? Do we reverence his word? And again, we're not saying this to condemn. We're saying this is the truth. It's a good checkup to say, yep, that's right. What God said, it's true. And I'm not going to let other ideas, feelings, they're not going to get me to speak against what he said. If we reverence the word, then we're not going to take sides against the word, against what he said. We should be growing and changing over time as we let the word renew our mind. All of us. I don't know about you, but I know I think differently and believe differently than I did 5 years ago. Now, our basic doctrine can be the same. It doesn't mean you're just zigzagging in doctrine, but how you see, how you walk things out, your understanding should grow. We should change over time. We should come up. Amen? Amen. We should be different. I fully expect in 5 years I'm going to be at a higher level than I am now. And 10 years, that much higher. If we don't change like that, then there's something wrong. We ought to be growing. We ought to be changing. Well, how does that happen? We get the Word of God inside of us. We change our thinking, which changes our believing, and we change what we say. But if we will start speaking in line with the Word of God, it will short-circuit what we've been thinking on. You will start thinking on what you're saying. And as you're saying it, we're like washing our mind with that word. If we'll speak the word, even when we don't feel like it, we're hearing the word. We're changing our thinking. And that's starting to change our believing. Say, well, I don't really believe it. I'm not going to say it. Well, say it and keep saying it, and we'll find our believing will catch up. Because we're changing our mind, and what you hear, if we hear it over and over and over, even if it's from us, it's going to get down in our heart. Because your mind, if you're saying something constantly, your mind just doesn't, it's hard to go off and think about something else if we're speaking in a certain direction. If we'll say what the word says, then we are hearing with our ears, and our mind is going to go on that. We're starting to change our mind. I'm not talking about rote. I'm not talking about ritual. But the Bible talks about meditating on the word. That has a connotation of muttering, just saying what God said, saying what God said. Isn't that better than saying what the world says? Isn't that better than saying what the news says? Good night. Isn't that better than saying how you feel if it's not in line with the Word of God? Isn't that better than saying, you know, a negative report? Why repeat that over and over? See, that's why so many are weak. If we fall into the trap of speaking the negative, well, you're hearing the negative, thinking on the negative. Your faith is starting to be affected. And then, you know, then you want to say the negative more. On the other hand, if we'll speak the word of God, then we're just jerking ourselves right out of that rut and starting to look at the word and hearing the word and thinking on the word. And the word of God is living and powerful. And it can change us. Glory to God. So confession, you can't witness about things that we don't know about. Is what we personally know about the Lord and what we are in Him that counts. Last time we said, you know, if we'll go and look at scriptures in the Word that have the expressions like in Him, in whom, in Christ. If we'll look those up, you start to see who we are. Who we are in God, in Jesus, what is ours. We have to be born again before we can know Jesus, but just because we've been born again does not mean we're a successful Christian. We need to know what we have in Christ and who we are in Him. Notice, it's in Him. See, religion will tell you it's what you've done and how good or how well you're performing that buys you something with God. The gospel said that we could not earn anything with God, and so Jesus bought and paid for our, He purchased our redemption, and by believing in Him, then through Him, we have certain rights and privileges. Now, does it mean we shouldn't do what's right? We don't do it to be saved or to earn from God. We do it because we're saved, because we're in the family, and we want to serve Him. But knowing who we are in Christ, if we'll look those up, we'll start to know who we are and what we have in Christ, and that will start changing us. It's like finding out what our inheritance is, you know, like in a will. This is a testament. You know, you've heard of a will and last will and testament. This is the New Testament and the Old Testament. This word is what we have in God. And especially we find out in the New Covenant, the New Testament, what was really the types and shadows that were in the Old Testament. They come out. But we find out what our inheritance is, what has been done for us. See, if we have the attitude or the approach, and we've all probably, you know, done this at some point, if we say, well, you know, and maybe we have been familiar with some scriptures that are like that, that say what we have. But we could be like, well, I've heard those. I've seen them. But they just aren't true in my life. But God, we have to realize God said it's true. whether we see it or not. If we have that, I've seen that, I know that, I've seen those scriptures, but they just don't work. I don't know why, but it's not true in my life. Then we are taking sides against God. Amen? Amen. Now, it's not, again, we've all made mistakes. But if we continually take sides against the Word of God, if God said we have in Christ, we are a new creation. You know, in Him we have redemption, in whom we have redemption. If we say, I don't feel like that, I don't feel like it's true, I've seen the Scriptures, but I just don't see it happening in my life. If God said it's true and we say it's not, then we're taking sides against Him. And this is how we can become defeated, because we are contradicting what the Word says. Again, we're talking about, like we were just talking about, reverencing the Word. If we say it's not so, but God says it's so, somebody's wrong. Now, God can declare something is true and we not take a hold of it and we don't have it, but that doesn't mean it wasn't His will for us to have it. It happens with salvation every day. God sent Jesus to die and to be raised from the dead so that we could be born again, but not everybody receives it. Does that mean it's not His will for everybody to be saved? No, the Bible said that He's not willing that any should perish, right? But yet people don't receive it. Well, it's the same thing with us. Just because we got born again, we receive the same way. We have to agree with what He said. If He said in His Word that we have something, our job is to say, all right, yes, sir, that's true. I don't maybe see it, I don't feel it, but if You said it, see, that's reverencing His Word. If the Bible says it, then for us to say no, we are trampling on it. Do you see that?
Oh, yes.
Well, I don't feel like it today. I'm mad. I'm having a bad day. What, does that change God's Word? Come on. No. We've all been there. But does it change God's Word? Is He right or our feelings right? Our feelings are going to change. Which are changing from, next hour. They're different. And tomorrow you feel great. So what? Now God's Word's true. But Amen. Monday, not so true. But Friday, woo, I feel good. It's sunny outside and, 75 and the sun's shining and I'm getting off early. Woo, God is good. Come Monday morning. Well, see, that's just walking by feelings. And that's not walking by faith and reverence in what He said. So what's coming out of our mouth is, it's showing up what we believe. Well, we can change that. We can choose to agree with His Word. We can choose to believe what He said. Amen?
Amen.
Let's look at a few scriptures along these lines that talk about our rights and privileges. These don't necessarily use the words in Him and whom in Christ, but these talk about our rights and privileges. Go ahead and look at Colossians 1:13. It's what we are going to say. See, what we say is indicative of what we believe, and what we believe is indicating what we think. What we're saying is going to put us over. If we're agreeing with Him, it's what's going to put us over. It's what's going to make us victorious. Like I said, the world has found this out. You even listen to people that, play sports saying, no, we're going to win. They may be down. No, we're going to win. We're going to overcome. You don't hear them talking, I just don't know. That's just not the right attitude, is it? I'm talking about people. We're not talking about church. People that aren't talking about Christianity or anything. Just having that attitude and saying something. God put that in a human being. And the authority of it works. Now, it's a whole nother level when we're quoting not what you think you're going to do based on, you know, your athletic ability, but when God said it and you're agreeing with Him, that's the real use. That's the real use case. Just because it's the same thing with like giving and receiving. Do you realize that people have tapped into that law, whether they're giving unto God or whether they're giving? Generous people have money come to them. Wealthy people have said this, and they're not Christian, not anything, but they've tapped into a law of God. But the real law is the way we're supposed to be hooking up with that is God set it in place that we're supposed to believe in something, someone. That's why people go around. All these things, people go around and they want to believe in something. So they find some wacky cause to believe in. So everybody, and some people, I don't believe in anything. I'm an atheist. Well, you believe that. And some people are really die hard about, I don't believe in anything. I don't believe in God. Well, that's believing something. But God, all these things are shadows of the real. God put it in a person, the human being, to believe in Him. And God put it in our hearts that we could say and it would come to pass. And speak out what He said. Ultimately, we're supposed to. He's supposed to say what is, and we're supposed to say, yes, sir, that's what's going to happen in spite. That is the real. That's what we're supposed to be targeting. So this, Colossians 1:13, it says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. He has delivered us. Is that present tense, past tense, future tense? It's past. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Well, the devil, you know, people talk about the devil or, you know, demons or just the devil's whipping me. Just pushing me down. Well, what does this say? He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Does that mean you're under the power of darkness or outside the power of darkness? And is that going to happen in the future or has that already happened? Okay, so then what does that mean about, well, I just am getting beat up and the devil this, devil that. What is that? That's not this. Yeah, but you know, you don't know. I mean, wait a minute. We're putting ourselves back into bondage when God said we're free. But if we say, well, no, that's how we give the enemy access to us when God said we're free. If he said He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, we need to agree with what He said. Whether we feel like it or not, it's not good. Well, I just don't feel like it. You don't understand. There's just darkness all around. There's darkness. What are we saying? There's darkness. I'm depressed. There's just, what are we saying? It's not this. He has, what we should be saying is, even if we feel dark, even if it doesn't look good, He has delivered me from the power of darkness. I'm free. And He's conveyed me into the kingdom of the Son of His love. That's where I reside. Satan has no power over me. The forces of darkness have no power over me. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Well, but you're depressed. No, I'm free. Yeah, but you've just been so down. I'm free. If we start talking darkness and defeat, no, I don't know, man. It's been rough. It's been rough. It's hard. Okay, we're not making light of what is, but that's not going to bring us out. If we focus on what is going on around us, it's just going to bring our horizons down. On the other hand, we could have stuff going all around us, but if we'll focus on what He said, we'll come up. And we're agreeing with Him. This isn't some fable or some self-help book that some man wrote that we're saying, well, if you quote this, you know, look in the mirror and say how great you are. Like that old Saturday Night Live skit. People love me and all that stuff. No, we're talking about what God said. what our Father said, He said about us, and we say, I am delivered. Let's go a little bit further. We'll wrap up. First John 4:4. Can you put that up on the screen? I think we could just spend some time on all these, huh? Maybe that's what we'll do. 1 John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Okay, that's a familiar verse of Scripture to some people. We need to say this in the middle of when we feel intimidation, when we feel like people don't like us. That's when we need to double down here. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm the one that has God inside me. Well, a friend of ours, a pastor, she was on a plane, and she's from Long Island. And she was on a plane, and this was a long time ago, her and her husband are friends of ours, and she was on this plane, and she was sitting by some guy that, I don't know, she was talking about Jesus or something, and this guy, she could just tell he was kind of just making, just giving her looks, and he was talking, he had another friend, and he was just kind of, she could tell that they were just thinking she was weird or something, making fun of her. And she said it was just like intimidation was trying to push on her. And she was talking to this guy, and the other guy said something, I believe this is the way it is, like said something, does she know who you are? When she was talking to him. And she said the Spirit of God just rose up in the inside of her, and to her, God said, does he know who you are? Does he know who you have inside of you? Who is this guy? Does he realize who he's sitting next to? We need to get sassy. I'm not saying you have to broadcast it, but inside we need to be like, well, wait a minute. Are you saved? Do you know God? Because in about 100 years, this is going to make a big difference. I don't care how old you are. Do you know him? This says, greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. We shouldn't go around going, oh, you know, this person doesn't like me. This person doesn't like me. I'm not saying you say it like you're in third grade, but, you know, we can get just, even as adults, you're thinking, why do they say that? You know, am I going to succeed over here? You know, what about this presentation? And we need to be agreeing with what the Word of God said. Again, not in a, you know, the world would do this in a mantra that, oh, I'm going to be successful. We're agreeing with the Almighty. We're agreeing with who's on the inside of us saying, wait a minute, I have the Creator on the inside of me. He will give me direction. He will help me. He brings favor. Regardless of people aligning against me, wait a minute, I have God on my side. And so, yeah, exactly. If God is for me, who can be against me? See, this is believing what He said. And saying what He said in the face of circumstance. No, God is in me. God is for me. Greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. Glory to God. Praise you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. God is faithful. We'll unhook there. We'll keep going next time, but let's just take a moment and praise Him. Lord, we just thank You. We thank You. You are a good God. You are a good God. We believe what these verses say. We believe that You have taken us out of the kingdom of darkness. You've transferred into the kingdom of the Son of Your love. You've redeemed us from Satan and his kingdom. We thank You for it. We thank You that we have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of us, and greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. We have overcome the world. The Word says, praise you, Lord. Glory to God. He has delivered us. He has delivered us. Everybody say this. Say, God, you have delivered me out of the kingdom of darkness. You have delivered me out of darkness. I'm free. I'm free. I am free. I am redeemed from the power of darkness. I am in the kingdom of Almighty God. Lord, I thank you that greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. I have the greater one on the inside of me. He goes where I go. He's my helper. He's my counselor. He gives me wisdom. He gives me strength. He's my helper. He's my helper. He's my helper. Lord, if I need help, I have the helper built in, ready to go. And he is greater than anything, any circumstance, any person that would come against me. I am an overcomer in him. Praise you, Lord. Glory to you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God is good. He is faithful. His word works. I said, His word works. His word works. Say this. Say, God, Lord, I reverence your word. I choose to say your word. I choose to speak your word. I choose to confess your word in spite of anything going on around me, in spite of any circumstance, in spite of any health challenge, in spite of any financial challenge, in spite of any relational challenge, in spite of any feelings. I will line up with your word. I will speak your word. I will reverence your word. Your word is truth and it's light. I choose to act on it. I choose to believe it. I'll change my mind to line up with your word. I'll renew my mind. I'll change my thinking. I'll change my believing. I'll meditate on what you said. I'll say what you said. And I'll have the right results lined up with what you said. And I'll give you glory and honor and praise for all the good that comes forth in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. God is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. He is a faithful God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.